Hey, welcome to the New Churches Podcast. My name is Ed Stetzer. I'm the Dean of the Talbot School of Theology. Today, we're looking back over the past year at one of the episodes of New Churches Podcast that really made the most impact in our minds and the minds of our listeners. These episodes were helpful conversations for advancing the gospel in our community. And today, we're going to be revisiting a great conversation I had with Warren Bird on the topic, Did the Pandemic Change Church Planting?
You're listening to New Churches Podcast, a production of Send Network on newchurches.com. We discuss all things church planting. If you're looking to take your next step toward multiplication, you're in the right place. newchurches.com provides relevant and reliable resources for church planters, church multipliers, and disciple makers. Our growing library features pastors, planters, and church leaders like Ed Stetzer, David Platt, Trillia Newbell, Christine Hoover, Dahati Lewis, Trevin Wax, and many others.
Hey, we're back, the New Churches Podcast. One of the questions, you know, if you've been listening to the series, you know, we just had Warren Bird on recently talk about funding. If you haven't, you should go back and listen to that. I think it was super helpful. We're going to talk about the pandemic because we're all enjoying having conversations about the pandemic, and there's lots of conversations to be had still about the pandemic. But one of the questions that has to come up is, how did it impact church planting and what does it mean for the future? If we look at what was disproportionately impacted in the world, it certainly were places where people gathered. So movie theaters, you know, cinemas shut down. Churches, you know, depending on where you are, how long shutdown was and when they came back, and then social distancing and all that sort of stuff. Now, that seems like an ancient memory, maybe in some ways, but it really had an impact on church planting. Here, also worth noting that one of the things that happened is that schools, where disproportionately church plants meet in movie theaters and schools, theaters were shut down, and schools, though, depending on when they started meeting again, I have a church planter friend in Houston that their school was back in session, but they didn't let anybody from the outside in to create what they might call a bubble, you know, those kinds of things. And all of these things are just church planting related. So Warren Bird is a writer and researcher of churches. He's authored or co-authored 33 books on church leadership and more. Warren, have we done two or three? Is it two or three we've done together?
Two books together, The Viral Churches, which had that fun name. Videos were just going viral at that
time. Yes, it had not stood the test of time. We probably wouldn't call it Viral Churches today. But I mean, the book's great, but as far as the title. But,
and right, then with the Elmer Towns about innovative churches.
Right. 11 innovative churches. I remember, but I think we kick around. I think we did the forward to one of Dr. Towns.
We did the
Towns
forward to his that's what it was. On international large churches.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, good. So, anyway, he's the vice president of research and equipping at the Evangelical Council of Financial Accountability, which I said nice things about last time, and I still think nice things about this time. So in the previous episode, we discussed your very comprehensive research project that we want to encourage people to get. They can go to the show notes, click over the link. It's called The New Faces of Church Planting and Multi-Site. It's a free resource. You got to sign in to get it, but that's pretty common nowadays. So we talked about new church plant funding, which was great. But if you don't mind, those who didn't listen to the previous episode, which I can't imagine why they wouldn't listen to the previous episode, give us a quick overview before we talk about how the pandemic changed church planting.
That funding is happening in multiple revenues, multiple sources, and the church planter that knows how to raise money tends to end up reaching more people. But we don't want to discourage anyone from starting the church in the living room of your house or apartment and seeing what God does from there. That's a zero budget church. But all levels of church planting are happening, and funding helps you do it on a larger scale. The exciting thing about the pandemic is that the funding did not dip. Yeah. And I was surprised at how few things dipped during the pandemic. In fact, church planting itself, I was brought to tears when I first tallied up the 2,700 responses, and I saw how many hundreds of churches launched during the pandemic.
Yeah, it surprised me.
Wow. And how many of them pivoted, to use that word nobody has ever used, that so many of them started very creatively. Ed, you've been talking about locations. Yeah, because everything's shut down. Some started entirely online. Some started in parks where weather permitted. The amount of creativity was just awesome. But quickly finding a place that they could gather and grow and make more disciples in a central location. So that was inspiring to me.
And I think it's in some ways surprising too as well, because I kind of assumed, and we do see some of that, I got to assume we'd see this big drop off, and then from this big drop off, it would go boom, and then, you know, and then as you come out, depending upon the state, you know, Illinois was shut down longer, California, Texas, and Florida were not, we'd see this pick up. Well, let's talk about what did we see. We're going to focus on how the pandemic changed church planting. In the research, you see the pandemic did not change their level of mental health, which I found interesting, because I would say that the perception is this was a harder time to be a pastor and to plant a church. So tell us a little bit about, how do you reconcile those things?
Yeah, that question surprised me too. We ask, because we've all heard the question about, you know, have you considered church planting? And if you take that as an isolated, or quitting your church, and if you take that as an isolated event, well, that's explosive. I mean, like virtually every pastor considers quitting about every other Monday. So the question is it over time? So we ask mental health over time. We said, how would you rate your mental health when you launched? And if that was before the pandemic, how would you rate your mental health just before the pandemic kicked in, which would be like March 2020? And then how would you rate your mental health today? And this survey was taken in the first half of the year 2022. And they were remarkably similar. And they were remarkably high.
Yeah.
So now either church planters are all mentally...
We could have a discussion about that.
You and I were both church planters.
Exactly.
That we don't have a stable view of reality or of ourselves, or we live on adrenaline or who knows what. Or they're the kind of... I just read a book about the entrepreneurial spirit and church planters, that there's enough entrepreneurial sense in them that the ups and downs of the pandemic... we're kind of like the ups and downs of everything else they do, and that they knew how to ride the waves and navigate it. And there was an awful lot out there, the Ruth Haley Bartons, Pete Scazzeros, and others, that were all riding on, hey, you're more tired than you realize, center, you know, linger in your time with God each day, make sure your staff and your people are being, their souls are being cared for. There was enough of that rhetoric out there that hopefully it connected with church planters as well. But I was delighted by how highly and consistently church planters rated themselves. And again, you can see the little chart and all these other charts that we'll talk about if you download the free report.
No, I think it's interesting, and it kind of lays some of those things out. Because I think if you came into 2020 without some reservoirs of resilience, we quickly had to develop them. I do think church planters have a bit of an edge to them in some ways that may have pressed into the crisis. I don't know, but it is interesting to me and worth noting. Also, in the research, you found new churches put a heavier emphasis on evangelism than discipleship, but discipleship increased during the pandemic. So explain that a bit to me.
Yeah, it's always awkward to pit evangelism and discipleship against each other.
Yeah.
For example, I go to the gym regularly, and I'm always looking to start a conversation with someone in the locker room or as we're working out side by side about spiritual things. And to me, that is a discipleship thing in my life that I would be evangelistic. So granted, the two, there's a lot of overlap, but for survey purposes, we said, is the role of your evangelism and discipleship, how does that compare to each other? And what we found, we said, was it, how strongly is it, oh, church planter, is it part of your vision? And we found that both pre-pandemic and during the pandemic, evangelism was stronger than the discipleship component of caring for those that God had already brought in. But during the pandemic, the discipleship meter was higher and almost as high as the evangelistic meter in terms of caring for people. And I think one reason for that is, yes, we all needed the care. But another reason is that there was more transfer growth. That was my big disappointment registered when we ask, okay, where do the people that you have today, you know, how would you describe their spiritual backgrounds? Were they totally unchurched? Were they the de-churched people who had had some prior relationship with God and with church and now dropped out and were coming back? Or were they transfers either locally or from out of town? And a big noticeable jump during the pandemic of transfer growth. Of course, that'd be interesting to know, would all churches say the same thing, or was that just church plants?
Well, I have been writing on that, and so we'll have another conversation on that, but I've been calling it the great sort, as people are sorting themselves. I think it's the greatest time of church shifting and switching probably in our lifetime, but another story for probably another day. So you actually found that more transfer growth, less conversion growth compared to pre-pandemic. I've been concerned for a while that church planting has been growing in more transfer, less evangelism. And I want churches to new churches to be evangelized into existence, not to be just cooler outposts and expressions of other churches where Christians come because they want something new. So what are some ways you would think, I'm asking you to come out of the research, but to look at your vast knowledge and your advice-giving capacity, what are some ways you would encourage church planters and church plants to emphasize evangelism so we don't end up just being transfers from other churches?
I would love to answer that, but I want to say in the framing piece, when we ask people how high is on your priority list and on your vision list, was the idea of, quote, reaching new people with Jesus' gospel. It was in the 90th percentile.
Okay.
So Ed, 100 years ago, I don't think most church plants would have said that. They would have said, oh yeah, all the Swedish Lutherans have just come from the old country and, you know, we need a church and we need a pastor. And it became a lot of ethnic fellowship. And if somebody marries a non-Norwegian and wants to come become part of our church, great. But the evangelistic impetus, just because it was a new church, didn't guarantee an evangelistic heart. And today, much more strongly, you see that evangelistic heart. Now, how do we pull that off? Are we helping people learn how to share their faith story? My wife and I are part of a small group in a church plant. And two meetings ago, the Bible passage was somebody gave their testimony in scripture of coming to Christ. And the leader just said, you know what? That's enough. Why don't we all do that? Why don't we just talk about how each of us came to faith, and let's say it in a way that we could like share with our unchurched friend or relative, that let's try to avoid churchy language and all. And first, it was just inspiring to see going around the room, every different way imaginable, God had reached each of us. But many of us afterwards commented on, you know, this was such a good experience to kind of practice, to use an old term, giving my testimony or my witness to help train me in how do I share my faith, and then to showcase people who are coming to faith and telling their story. The more you brag on something, the more you see it happen in church. The more you coach people and show them the scriptural impetus behind something, the more they aspire and pray for opportunities to do so. So what I'm saying is anything but rocket science or super secret. It is as basic as you can get.
Yeah, but basic in ways that we can sometimes forget. So I do, yeah, maybe basic, but also important. All right, so when you look at the pandemic, and I know it's tricky because, you know, the way, you know, I was an interim, and I think you had some old connection to Calvary in New York City back in the day, but I was the interim at this church in New York City in New York City, and you know, I finished up at Moody Church right near the summer of 2020, kind of shutdown-ish time. And then I served at this church in New York City for 18 months. And I, my experience watching the New York City church reassemble was different than Chicago. And then I go preach in Texas, and it's very different in Texas. I know it's hard to generalize, but give us some just thoughts on how did the pandemic impact church planting? And is that a lasting impact, or is that a done impact?
Well, leaving church planting world for a second to make an analogy, I can't tell you how many pastors I've talked with to say, so, you know, give me a ballpark of what's your attendance now compared to the pandemic. And probably the number I'm hearing the most lately is 80-85%. And then I say, and how many of those people are new? And most of them get very excited. They say, I can't believe it. They're like 25% I've never seen before. And we have opportunity to share Christ with them. Some of them are Christians. We're plugging them in. And they were surprised that their reach was broader than just the people who were part of the church beforehand. Likewise, for church planting, I think that's all part of this transfer growth that we're seeing, as people are saying, maybe this could be a church home for me. Maybe I could grow here. And then helping them plug in. So all that to say, who you launch with 1 year, 2 year, 3 years later is not necessarily who you're serving and helping right now, both for churches in general and also for church plants.
Interesting. So are you, the pandemic's, I mean, behind us in the sense that people, regardless of how you feel about it, people are responding differently to it.
Well, it is and it isn't behind us.
Yeah, tell me.
In that people are now, my wife and I serve as greeters at our church, and it's almost a sacred moment that regularly somebody comes and says, this is my first time to come to church in a long time. Not necessarily that they were part of the church before, but they got invited or whatever. And that's like a holy moment to say, well, welcome back. It's safe, you know, and blah, blah, blah. So in that sense, while people are willing to gather in most places, the volunteering piece, that second step of engagement, has been really slow, and most churches' comeback has been in direct proportion to those willing to get involved at a level that they did pre-pandemic. And that's incremental.
Interesting.
It's happening, but it did not surge back with the people coming back.
Yeah. So if you're, if the pandemic is to some degree in your rearview mirror, still see, but still being impacted, what advice would you give to church planters, you know, we're 2023 and beyond, in light of what we've seen, what you've learned in the research, and maybe it's just keep running that ground game, but what advice would you give for church planters in light of the where we are now with the pandemic mostly in our rearview mirror?
Everyone, it seems, has an online component. Both for giving, it's not at all odd to hear 80%, 90%, 90%+ of giving comes online, and that gives a consistency, and there are many wonderful things. And I encourage you in your offering prayer, for lack of a better phrase, to say, and Lord, we want to thank those who have given before they even came here, put you first in their finances, to acknowledge that online giving. But the online watching is now part of most people's woof of life. Whenever I'm traveling, it's delightful that the church I'm part of, again, it's a church plan. It's not that sizable, but you know, they have a kind of a limited one camera in the back, but hey, I get it. I can watch the service. And the pastor has done a couple of things of, you know, like eyeballing the camera and just saying, hey, and those who are watching online today, welcome. And maybe he'll make some invitation for a next step that you can do physically or digitally to join a small group. So don't underestimate with simplicity how you can engage both in person and online, And that's here to stay, at least for the near-term future. And it's becoming more seamless. We're used to it.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I would add in there, it's not directly related to the pandemic, but I was just intrigued now. Like, can imagine 3 years ago saying, hey, everyone, scan the QR code on your screen. But now, you know, I mean, the grandmas are holding up their phones at church and scanning the QR code on the screen. And we know your menus aren't even available in restaurants. So it is fascinating how this technologically has been accelerated. Maybe we would have gotten there 10 years, but we all got there a lot sooner. Fascinating conversation. Again, Warren Bird, you can go to the show notes and link right over to the ECFA site where you can download this research. And you really, I want to encourage you to take a deep dive into it. There's a lot of good stuff in there. We want you to be more faithful and fruitful in church planning. Thanks again for listening to the New Churches podcast.
You've been listening to the New Churches podcast, brought to you by Send Network. If you like what you heard, take a few minutes to rate and review us or share this episode with a friend. It's the best way to show your support. To find more reliable resources to start your new church well, visit newchurches.com.